Hello, Reading on Football Pool. This is Rich. Welcome to the kickoff message of the final week of the season, the crapshoot that we like to call week number 17. We've had some crazy week number 17s over the year, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that we don't really know who's going to play. Sometimes there's announcements, like the Rams have already announced. The Steelers have kind of announced, but a lot of teams, the Chiefs have, but a lot of teams are very coy about announcing who's going to play and how much they're going to play. That's the key. And you have teams like the Vikings that can get basically frozen in their position through a lot of different ways, and so you don't know how much they're going to risk their players to be in that position. How long will Case Keenum play, for example, especially when you have the Bridgewater and some of the other backups that they have who could come in and help out? How long will they play Thielen, somebody who's very valuable to them? All this is completely up in the air and sets up for a wild and woolly week number 17. And then juxtapose that with the fact that, of course, we have a UFP Bowl between two owners that over the years and through this year have been very close to each other. And we have one of our classic finishes. We have a very close finish in the classic standings. And so this should make for something very interesting. In a moment, I'm going to tell you not only who's going to win the UFP Bowl, but I will tell you who will be our UFP Classic champion for 2017. But first, I need to wish everybody a very happy New Year that's upcoming. Tomorrow night, of course, is New Year's Eve. I hope everybody is safe. Here, it's going to be brutally cold, they say. We're going to have and this is Dallas, mind you, we're going to have a high of 26 tomorrow. So, anyways, it's going to be very, very cold. They're expecting some freezing rain overnight. New Year's Eve on a Sunday, as it is a little dicey, but you throw that into the mix, no pun intended, and who knows how many people are going to go out. But nevertheless, please be safe if you do go out and are celebrating, and I hope for all of you, for every single one of you, 2018 is the best year that you've ever had. Only peace and prosperity for everyone. So in 2014, going back a few years, in 2014, prior to that season, was when I announced the controversial move of not giving dollars for every weekly win, but rather turning it into a skin setup where you had to score 70 points to win the skin. Now, the reason why I did that was because we were having a lot of owners who basically just gave up at the end of the season. And by having the escalated skins, I guaranteed that the last week was worth $100. So even owners who weren't in the UFP Bowl, who really didn't have a clean shot at either first or second place in the classic standings, still had something to play for. And it was not coincidental that that year, in 2014, we set an all-time record for transactions. 167 transactions that year, with 15 in week number 17. That's amazing when you think about it. Well, be prepared to even be more amazed, because this year, and I did not see it coming, we broke that record. And we broke it, both records actually. We broke that record by two transactions. That is 169 transactions this year. You kept me very busy. And we broke the week 17 transaction record with 17. So really, we were tied with the all-time record coming into this week. There was 15 transactions that week in 2014, 17 this week. We beat the all-time record by exactly that many, two transactions. So, I guess, I don't know, congratulations are in order. Like I said, you kept me very busy. What's interesting about 169, were there just one more transaction this year, just one more? And by the way, I had to invalidate one transaction this week. Is there something magical about 170? Well, only that at 170 transactions in 17 weeks, we will have averaged 10 per week, which is kind of a fun number. you think about it, 10 transactions per week. And you consider that, of course, the first week, there are none. So, anyways, just an amazing year in transactions. And I remember in 2014, I saw it coming. It just seemed like a lot. This year, not so much. Probably because we have ratcheted up since I changed the skin setup. And I gotta say, even though I know a lot of owners are not crazy about it, I kind of like it. I kind of like what it does at the end of the season. So here we go. 17 transactions this week involving lots of owners who are involved in lots of things. And I'm going to do this just a little bit different because I'm going to tell you that four owners made the exact same transaction, or at least the same acquisition. Four owners, I'm just going to do it like this. Four owners all picked up the latest shiny object, meaning that five owners now own Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback. Yes, four owners picked up Garoppolo at quarterback. James, who's in first, of course. Anthony, who's hopeful to make a big late kick. And then Doug and Vernon, who are playing each other in the UFP Bowl. All four of those owners picked up Jimmy Garoppolo. So now five owners, including Dave, have him at the end of the season. That, ladies and germs, is a first. That has never happened. So there you go. If you think about it, it takes kind of an unusual set of circumstances for this to happen. You have to have a lot of owners having the same QB, like Jared Goff, who isn't going to play, and a very inexpensive quarterback who's been hot that isn't owned by more than one owner, so lately hot, and that happened with Garoppolo, so I guess it's easy to understand. All right, so with that known, here we go. In 10th place, Jim, trying to win that $100 at the end of the year, give himself a bright spot, has traded Kelsey, who's probably not going to play for the Chiefs tomorrow. He has an 8.6 average, as a $6 tight end. He's traded him for another tight end, Jimmy Graham of Seattle, who has a 6.9 average this year. He was really, really hot in the middle of the year, and then not so much the last 3 weeks. I think he has just two catches the last 3 weeks. All right, in 8th, Gil, also trying to close big. He has traded Drew Brees, who is playing this week, but he has not been great. He's $9 QB with a 9.5 average. And he's traded him, and I love this move, for Sean Mannion. Who is Sean Mannion, you might ask? Well, he's the guy starting for the Rams tomorrow in place of Goff. $2 QB, his second year out of Oregon State. I don't know who his wide receiver is going to be perfectly honest. But Mannion is going to be the QB, so this should be interesting. He has traded Richardson at the wide receiver position, 2.4 average for a $2 wideout, not awful, for Mohamed Sanu. And Sanu is a trendy pick in the fantasy realm. Atlanta needs this game, and he's got a 6.0 average this year, 5 catch bonus games, but no 100-yard games. He is there. He is the consummate possession receiver. He's the third down guy. And he's had 5 touchdowns this year. And Gil also traded the Rams, worried the Rams were going to rest a lot of their defenders against the suddenly hot Niners. They've got a 9.0 average for a $5 defense. That was a very good pickup for Gil. And he's traded him for the Lions. The Lions, tail of the tape, very interesting, tail of the tape. This is one of the more interesting ones I've ever seen. Get this. They've got 31 sacks, which is pretty good. It's not awful. It's not great. But 28 takeaways, which is really good, and 7 defensive touchdowns, which is exceptional. But they give up 24.3 points per game. And that's for a lot of reasons. One is they're kind of the opposite of the bend but don't break defense in that they take a lot of risks on defense, thus all the turnovers, but also giving up a lot of points. Also, their offense doesn't control the ball. They don't have a running game. So when they score quickly. So their defense is on the field a lot. So that's kind of what happens with them. That's a 5.3 average when you shuffle that all together for a $4 defense. They were really good earlier in the season and then have eroded since. In 7th is Perry. This would have been a great set of moves about, I don't know, 3 weeks ago. Perry has traded Tom Brady for Philip Rivers. Brady with just a 6.8 average for a $10 QB, Rivers with 4.5 in this pool over the last couple of weeks. He has traded Ingram, who was terrific, a 12.6 average for a $6 running back, and he's traded him for Todd Gurley. Now, like I said, this would have been awesome a few weeks ago. There's only one problem. Gurley's not going to play tomorrow. Gurley is one of those players being rested by the Rams since they cannot help themselves in the playoff situation. So Goff and Gurley are sitting. So at least Perry can say he had one of the hottest running backs in the league at the end of the year. And he has released the 49ers. Yes, we have a release. I had thought it hadn't happened for a while, but very honestly, it happened last year. James did the same thing with the Falcons. It was a risky move. He released the Falcons the last week of the season and finished second place. He was trying to hold on to that position last year to finish second to Doug. So Perry does the same thing. He releases the Niners against the Rams, who aren't playing Goff or Gurley. This would have actually been a great week to hold on to the 49ers. So I think my holiday wish for Perry is that he bookmark a few fantasy football websites. I think that might be the way to go. In sixth, very important transaction for Vernon, who traded Alex Smith. He had to. Smith isn't playing, and he traded him for Jimmy Garoppolo, previously mentioned, with his 12.5 average. And his opponent this week is in fifth place, Doug. He made three trades. He traded Roethlisberger. Looks like he's not going to play for Garoppolo, so he matches Vernon there. He has traded Dion Lewis. This is a risky move because New England has to win tomorrow against the Jets. And Lewis has been huge. A 12.4 average for a $3 running back. This was a great pickup for Doug. But he's decided to trade him for Derrick Henry. $4 running back of Tennessee. Tennessee also has to win. They're playing Jacksonville. Why Derrick Henry? Well, DeMarco Murray is out. And so Henry is the guy. And who knows how many players, defensive players Jacksonville will be resting in that game. And he has traded Cooks. And again, didn't have to. He is Cooks with a 7.2 average. He's traded him for Juju Smith-Schuster, who had 15 points last week for me. He's terrific. And he's going to be probably one of the only wide receivers, certainly the leading wide receiver, playing tomorrow against Cleveland. But Landry Jones is going to be throwing to him. So that may give Doug a little bit of pause. Nevertheless, Doug going all in against Vernon. More about that matchup, of course, in a few minutes. In fourth is Anthony. Anthony has just made an amazing run. In the latter half of the season, he has made two trades. Of course, he got rid of Goff and picked up Garoppolo. And very interestingly, he has traded Phelan. And his 13.1 average is a $5 wideout for Mohamed Sanu. Now, Sanu, as we mentioned a few minutes ago, with a 6.0 average, 6 year out of Rutgers. This is a gamble for Anthony. Phelan, Minnesota has to win. They have to win tomorrow against the Bears to get that first round bye. The question, but they can also still get that first round bye through a number of other avenues. So they'll be scoreboard watching. And it may be that Thielen comes out. It may be that that Keenan comes out. Who knows what's going to happen with the Vikings tomorrow? They are the biggest crapshoot, I think, of all the teams in many ways. Interestingly, Thielen has not done well lately. It's been a while since he's had the catch bonus. So that may be the other deciding factor for Anthony. In second, your commissioner made two moves. Also throwing a Hail Mary here. I've gotten rid of Nick Foles, who gave me a 10.0 average playing the Cowboys this week. I just don't like that matchup. And he's traded him. I traded him for Pat Mahomes. Who, you might ask? Pat Mahomes will be the starting quarterback tomorrow for my Kansas City Chiefs. Now, I don't know how much you follow the draft, but the Chiefs, in a very, very rare move for them, drafted a quarterback in the first round. They had not done that. Well, I'll let you guess. When was the last time the Kansas City Chiefs drafted a quarterback in the first round? The answer was in the draft year of the quarterbacks, 1983. And they were lucky enough to get like one of the only quarterbacks who sucked out of that entire first round of great quarterbacks. It wasn't Marino. It wasn't, God, all the other great quarterbacks that came out of there. No, they got Todd Blackledge. Todd Blackledge. Better known for announcing than actually playing. Well, they finally did it again this year. They actually traded up to get Pat Mahomes, who's a rookie out of Texas Tech. He was the 10th overall pick. He starts tomorrow. The good news is this kid has a cannon for an arm. I'm talking about some of the people who specialize in analyzing quarterbacks compare him very much to a Brett Favre coming out of Ole Miss, I think it was, or Mississippi State. I can't remember which one it was. When he came out, a gunslinger, lots of interceptions, but a cannon for an arm. Good scrambler. That's what Mahomes is. He has his first career start tomorrow, but of course it's against a Denver team that's very good in pass defense, so we shall see. I've decided to gamble on him. And I traded the Bears defense, who gave me 25 points last week, and I love them. I just didn't like their matchup this week against the Vikings. And I'm trading them for the Lions. We talked about the Lions a few minutes ago. They play at home against a Green Bay team that has all but given up. And I'm hoping they've really given up and that the Lions score lots of points. So that's who I got this week. And finally, our leader made the two transactions that put us over the top this year. Of course, he traded Goff for Garoppolo, and he got rid of the Jaguars. The Jaguars are playing a Titans team that has to win this week. The Jags have been terrific for James. I said it when he picked them up, that it could mean a championship for him, and he's in first place. They've had a 10.8 average for a $6 defense. They've been terrific, but he's gotten rid of them in his last week of the season. He's traded them for the Redskins. The Skins, tail of the tape. Now, this is a team that gets to the quarterback a lot, 40 sacks, not as many takeaways as the Lions, 22 takeaways and only 2 defensive touchdowns, but they give up even more points per game than the Lions, 24.7. That's just a 2.7 average. They're playing at the Giants. I know exactly what James is thinking. The Giants have imploded. They've got Manning throwing more interceptions than touchdowns, but this game is in New York, and we'll see if this works out. This was a gamble for James. He could have gone with the Lions as well. I think that was the better pick, but he picked the Skins. All right, lots of really intriguing transactions this week. Perhaps one of the greatest last weeks of transactions we have ever had, certainly the most voluminous. All right, let's turn our attention to UFB Bowl 2017. Doug is a 2 seed. Vernon is the 1 seed. That gives Vernon home field advantage and the 3.5-point start in this matchup. These two owners are exceptionally close in many, many ways. First of all, they've played each other 7 times all time. Doug has a 4-3 edge. Because this is Vernon's first ever UFP Bowl, of course, they've never met in the playoffs. Were they to have gone against each other every week this year, Doug would have the ever so slight edge, 8-7 with 1 tie. That's how close it is. How close is it? Doug has 538 points in 5th place. Vernon has 521 points in 6th place. That's a 17-point difference, or 1 point per week. That's how close these two are. Can we get any closer? I think we can. They now have the same quarterback. So you can throw that position out. At running back, Doug has now Henry for Tennessee in a game they have to win. Vernon has Drake for Miami in a game they don't have to win. Jacksonville has the better defense than Buffalo. Tennessee has to win. They're going to run the ball. I don't know what the weather's going to be like, but I can tell you right now, this is a wash. Henry will run for more yards. Drake will catch more passes. At the wide receiver position, Smith-Schuster for Doug is going to probably be the lead receiver. But he's got Landry Jones throwing to him in a game that Pittsburgh does need to win against Cleveland, but I think they think they're going to. Meanwhile, Vernon's got Marquise Goodwin of the Niners in a game they don't have to win in L.A., but he's got his own quarterback who's been blowing it up throwing to him. Put these two together, the fact that the ball will be spread out more for the Niners than it will be for Pittsburgh, it's a wash. So far, it's a wash at quarterback, it's a wash on right running back, and it's a wash at wide receiver. On defense, Doug has the Saints. They are playing in Tampa against the woeful Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tampa, though, has been scoring a little bit lately. They scored the first time they played New Orleans. Again, I don't know what the weather's going to be like. The Vikings are at home against the Bears. The Vikings have to win this game. The Vikings are going to outscore the Saints by 4 this week. All right. Is that the end of the story? No. First of all, Doug has 3 points in balance. Vernon has none. That makes Vernon's edge just 1 point, plus the 3.5 gives him a 4.5 point edge. Is that the end of the story? No. If you look currently at the betting lines of the teams that are involved in this matchup, the 49ers, because Goff isn't playing and Gurley's not playing, the 49ers are favored. That helps both of these owners. Tennessee is favored because they have to win. The Steelers are favored over Cleveland, and the Saints are favored over Tampa. Doug right now has the 9-point win-loss bonus if you believe Vegas. For Vernon, he's got the Niners twice. That's good. The Vikings are supposed to win against Chicago. But Buffalo is favored against Miami. How about that? That would give Vernon just 2 points on the win-loss bonus. If you add it all up, in UFP Bowl 2017, it says here that Doug is a 2.5-point favorite on the road to win his 3rd ever title. Now, this makes it easy for Vernon. Either one of 2 things, and Vernon wins this thing. If Miami can beat Buffalo, which is very, very doable, 2 teams that don't have anything to play for, right? It's in Miami. Or if Jacksonville can beat Tennessee, very, very possible, then Vernon will win the title. But if Doug can get this 9-point win-loss bonus and Vernon doesn't, it's going to be very hard for Vernon to overcome that. This should be a great final. All right, just 1 order of business left. Who is going to win the Classic Championship? Going into this final week, James has a 24-point lead. He was coasting, but he lost 40 points of lead last week. I'm in second, 24 points back. Chuck is 22 points behind me. Anthony, 6 points behind Chuck. Doug, 1 point behind Anthony. And Vernon, 17 behind Doug. I just told you that Doug was going to outpoint Vernon. I think he will. That would eliminate Vernon from being in the top 2. Doug would finish with 592 points. Looking at Chuck. Chuck has got Keenum, Collins, Allen, and the Eagles. The problem is the Eagles are facing a Cowboy team that's seeing red this week. I think the Eagles are going to give up a lot of points. I don't know if Case Keenum is even going to play the entire game. I believe Chuck will finish behind Doug. Then there's Anthony. Anthony's got a great setup right now. Garoppolo, I think, is going to play really well. I think Kamara for New Orleans is going to play really well against a Tampa team. I think it's going to give up a lot of points. I'm not sure Sanu is going to be the guy that everybody thinks he's going to be this week, but the Steelers are going to do great against Cleveland, and Anthony is going to get the 9-point win-loss bonus this week. I believe Anthony could actually win the week. I have him down for 62 points. Remember, you don't have to score 70 in this last week. Anthony, with that huge number, takes him to 601, eliminating Doug. All right. Then you get to your commissioner. I come into this week with 567. I think Drake is going to do pretty well. I think Smith-Schuster is going to do pretty well. I've talked about those two already. And I think the Lions have something to play for this week in trying to shut down Green Bay. I think the Lions' defense is going to do well. My problem is I'm not going to get that 9-point win-loss bonus like a lot of other owners are going to this week, because I don't think the Chiefs are going to win in Denver. They just want to get out healthy, basically. And as I mentioned, Miami isn't even favored against Buffalo. So I finish with 42. If you add that to my total, I would just beat out Anthony by 8. If I do get that total of 609, then all James would need would be 19 points to win it all. I think he's easily going to get it. I think Garoppolo is going to have a good game. The key for McKinnon and Thielen is how much they play. That's going to be the key. That's what James is going to be watching. I think the Skins are not going to do as well as he thinks he does, but he's praying it isn't a shootout in New York. If it is, he's in trouble. Right now, all of his teams are favored. So as it stands right now, the finish is going to look like this. James in first with 635. Your commissioner in second with 609. Anthony gets all the way to third, but falls just short at 601. Doug in fourth at 592. Then Chuck dropping to fifth. And then Vernon. First, how can Anthony move into second place? Anthony needs the Steelers to hold Cleveland to either 7 or less points. If that happens, then I think Anthony is going to pass me by. And that very easily could happen. How can I win the championship? Well, I need a lot of things to happen. First of all, I need both the Chiefs and the Dolphins to win. I've got to get that 9-point win-loss bonus. And I need Mahomes not to implode. I need him to stay away from interceptions. He easily could throw for 300 yards, I think. He's got that kind of an arm. However, they've got a lot of their weapons that aren't even playing tomorrow, so the odds of that go way down. However, if the Giants can score over 24 points against the Redskins, then I've got a shot. But as it stands right now, I think James is going to tie the all-time record with his fifth Classic Championship. There you have it. I'll have the end-of-year extravaganza probably on Tuesday, or maybe Monday, I don't know. It's going to be one of the two. Remember, this coming Friday is the playoff draft. Please, somebody send me a call, dial-in number so I can send it out to everybody else. And I haven't had anybody complain about the time, so we're going to keep it at 5 o'clock Pacific time, 7 o'clock Central. Again, have a wonderful new year. Back with you in 2018. As always, good luck.